Well, good morning. It's great to be here. So today's message is going to be a little bit of a departure from your typical sermon framework. And I'm really just going to wanted to tell you guys a story about a healing miracle that Catherine and I, my wife Catherine and I, experienced. And it's also really just kind of a testimony, Catherine's testimony about a bad injury that she had and, you know, her path through that and how God was present during that. So, but before I get into the story, I wanted to just talk about the definition of miracle. How would you define a miracle? I mean, I think we probably all might define it different ways. You know, the dictionary, Webster's Dictionary, defines it as an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. And or a more secular definition, an extremely outstanding or unusual event, thing, or accomplishment. You know, when I think of miracle, kind of I think of them in the sporting context, like the miracle on ice. You know, 1980 Olympics, U.S. underdogs versus the Soviets. You know, as the U.S. was winning and time clicked, you know, ticked off the clock, Al Michaels said, you know, "Do you believe in miracles?" Or, you know, the Hail Mary pass. I mean, I think any time your team has been on the good end of that, it's you're like, well, what a miracle. You know, you may see your husband put a plate in the dishwasher and say to yourself, now that was a miracle. But however you know, define it, it's I think we all would agree that it is something unusual and in many cases spectacular. You know, in the Christian context, of course, there's many miracles. Creation, the parting of the Red Sea, you know, the virgin birth, you know, all the miracles that Jesus performed, the healing, you know, ridding people of demon possession, you know, the most important, I think, miracle, the resurrection, you know, Jesus, you know, rising from the grave and defeating death. But then, you know, there's this miracle that we heard about, that Emily just read today, out of Acts, where the disciples are performing the same miracles that Jesus did. They're healing people. And, you know, I remember the first time that I read Acts, and I read about these miracles of, you know, Peter and Paul and the other disciples, doing the same things that Jesus did. I mean, I was amazed at that. That was really, that's probably the one thing and the primary thing in Acts that stood out to me the first time I read it. And it's just being amazed that they were doing the same thing that Jesus had done. And by the way, it's been a while since you read Acts. It's an awesome book. I mean, it's kind of the Gospel of Luke part two. You know, Luke's the author of Acts, and it really tells the story of the early church, and there are just some amazing events in there. So how did these disciples and apostles perform these miracles? You know, they weren't divine individuals. You know, they were just regular old human beings like us. I mean, they got out of bed and, you know, put their pants on like the rest of us, or, you know, whatever. I guess they didn't wear pants, but, you know, they put their tunics or ponchos or whatever they put on, you know. But you get the point. You know, they were just regular people. So how are they doing these miracles? I mean, Peter and Paul raised people from the dead. I mean, how did that happen? Well, it's through the miracle of the Holy Spirit and the power, you know, of the Holy Spirit working through them, and, you know, combined with their faith in Christ and their faith in the truth that Christ had taught them and showed them. You know, if you'll remember what Jesus told the disciples during the 40 days after the resurrection, where he came back and was with them, he told them, and this is in Acts 1, he says, you know, that he's going to leave, but he says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. That's, I'll kind of touch on that later. That's, I think, something important for us to understand is God is not on our timeline about what we think, how we think things should unfold. But Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. So Jesus says, wait here in Jerusalem. I'm going to send you a gift. They were all, and that's the Holy Spirit. God, you know, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And they're going to receive, you're going to receive power through that Holy Spirit. And that's what they, that's what happened at Pentecost. That's what we celebrate at Pentecost, is they were all waiting there. The Holy Spirit came and filled them up, and they went out from there and created the church. So now getting back to the definition of miracles, there's a man, Gordon Van Namy. Some of y'all may know him. He's a Methodist pastor down in Lake Park. And he's a friend of mine. He's a spiritual mentor of mine. And he wrote a book on miracles. And he defines miracles as, or a miracle as, just experiencing God's presence. And that's how I like to think of it. Whether it be an answered prayer, anytime, you know, God nudging you, you know, I'm sure a lot of us have felt that nudge of the Holy Spirit to act or do something. And just anytime God is involved in our lives and we, you know, we experience that, I mean, that to me, that is a miracle. That is miraculous. That's amazing that the creator of the universe is, you know, hears our prayers and listens to us and is involved in our lives. So I think, you know, we've all had answered prayers, but has anyone here experienced an instantaneous healing miracle? Has anybody experienced that? I've only experienced it once, and that's what I want to tell you about today. And so it was early December 2021, and my wife Catherine was running across the front yard to go. She was on her way to a Christmas party and was going to go jump in the car with a friend, and she had something in each of her hands, and she tripped and fell down in the front yard, and all her weight came down on her shoulder, and she had an AC joint separation. So I don't know if any of y'all have ever had that happen. Most of the time when it happens, the your collarbone kind of pops up, but hers popped backwards, which required a surgery. And so she was in a lot of pain, and she was in a sling for a month, and then she had shoulder reconstruction surgery in January of 2022, and the surgery went well. It was a success. And a week after the surgery, she started keeping a journal. And I'd forgotten that she did this, and as I was preparing this message, she got out the journal, and I was so glad she did, because we started reading through it, and I was like, well, This is the message. I mean, I'll just read from your journal if you're okay with it. She said, yeah, you can do that. And so in one of the first entries, she wrote, I was put back in a sling and anticipate being in the sling for 6 more weeks. This is after the surgery. During this time, I was in a great deal of pain and did not seem to be getting any better. Since the fall and early December, I have been unable to do anything. No household chores, no cooking, cleaning, laundry. I was out of work. I basically just sat around and managed pain medications and nausea. I'm feeling really defeated. Feel like I may never get my life back. I don't understand why this has happened to me, and I feel like if there is a lesson that I need to learn, I want to learn it fast. I've really been emotional lately with worry and fear that the pain will never go away, and I won't ever be able to do things with my family that I normally do. So what are these things I've been experiencing? Fear, doubt, worry? I remind myself that those are not of God. Satan whispers fear, doubt, and worry in our ears when we are down. So let me, I know a lot of y'all know Catherine, but for those who don't, she is, you know, very tough. She's not, you know, one of these delicate types. You know, she'll go sit in a deer stand in 30 degrees with her teenage boys. And so when she was going through this, I knew that this was bad. You know, she was at a low point. She was in a ton of pain, and I had never seen her like this. I've never personally been in that experience, you know, been through that with pain of that nature. So I couldn't really understand it, but she was just physically and mentally just exhausted and defeated. And so a few days later, a woman named Susan Wilmer, who led a small Bible study group that Catherine was a part of, asked Catherine if she could come over and pray for her. And Catherine wrote in her journal, she wrote, "The next day was a better day. This was January 15th. I was reminded to fix my eyes on Jesus. Don't look at the circumstances around me, because those circumstances can amount to too much and I can feel like I'm drowning. Fix my eyes on Jesus. I read Jesus Calling, which is a daily devotional, today, and it read, 'My face is shining upon you, beaming out peace that transcends all understanding.' I've always liked the high priestly blessing. In that blessing, it speaks about letting God's face shine upon you and being gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Look up. Jesus is peace." So then two more weeks pass, and Catherine was still in the same condition. She wrote, "I'm pretty much just sitting around all day because anything else hurts. I'm sad and emotional. I'm frustrated that I'm in so much pain and can't do anything. I feel worthless. I don't feel like God is helping me. I don't feel like I have any direction." So Catherine goes to the surgeon in early February. This is a month after the surgery, and they realize she has what's called frozen shoulder. So I don't know if any of y'all have ever had that, but what happened in her case was scar tissue had built up around the surgery site, and she was just unable to move it at all. And I mean, she had zero range of motion. And so they put her on, they start her on physical therapy, and she goes back to work. You know, she had been out of work for 9 weeks at this point, but she couldn't lift her arm more than like 20 degrees off her side. I mean, we were doing all these stretching exercises. I mean, you could not force her arm up any more than this. And it really, you know, as you can imagine, you know, she's right-handed, and it really limited what she could do. You know, at work, she, you know, has a keyboard up, and you know, she couldn't open doors. I mean, she couldn't do anything with her hair. It was just, I mean, it affected everything that she was trying to do. And you know, her mental state continued to be just really low. She wasn't seeing any light at the end of the tunnel. And then one day at physical therapy, she ran into a friend of hers from the church, Barbara Griffin. I know a lot of y'all know Barbara. And Barbara encouraged her at physical therapy. And, you know, she also told her that she should call Cindy Fan at church, because Cindy had dealt with a frozen shoulder before. And, you know, just as a side note, you just never know when a little word of encouragement is gonna help someone, or how it may help someone. You know, it really just meant the world, you know, to Catherine in that condition she was in, when Barbara just, you know, gave her a little ray of light at this physical therapy session. You know, yesterday, Becky Hitchcock sent me a text that said, you know, "Keith and I are praying for you tomorrow." And, you know, that meant the world to me, you know, just to know somebody is praying for you. And it's just so easy to do that kind of thing. And it was just a reminder to me, like, let's, you know, just to think about how we can be a light to someone. Just, you know, today, tomorrow, just the little things that mean so much. All right, so back to the story. So Barbara says, "Hey, Catherine, you should call Cindy Fan." And Catherine says, "Okay." And so Catherine calls Cindy, and she's in tears during the conversation. And Cindy told her that Cindy's husband, Wayne, and another man, Ronnie Hesters, who he's not alive anymore, but he went to New Covenant Church. And she's like, they would like to come pray for you. And so Catherine you know, was like, hey, this, they want to come pray for us at our house. What do you think? And I was like, yes, you know, tell them to come on. And so on the afternoon of Sunday, March 6, 2022, they come over. And so here's where the story gets good. So they come over to our house and, you know, to pray for healing. And, you know, they come in and Wayne and Ronnie ask if they can go pray in each room and basically pray over the house. And, you know, this is all kind of new to me. I mean, I grew up in First Presbyterian Church in Thomasville, and it was a very, you know, we didn't really have contemporary services back then. It was just buttoned up, you know, three hymns on the board, and we didn't say amen or raise hands or anything. And, you know, that's how I grew up. And then I moved here in 07 and became a Methodist, and through some experiences like Walk to Emmaus and the Kairos ministry, I got exposed to worshiping in different ways and with different people, and just got a little more comfortable with it. Speaking of Methodists, we were watching a movie, A River Runs Through It, recently with our family, and there's a great line in there. The dad in that movie is a Presbyterian minister, and he's pretty stiff, and he says Methodists are just Baptists who can read, and I like that. Methodists are we have a history of being bold and getting out there and getting our hands dirty, and I like that. You know, we're called to be bold and salty, but this was all just kind of new to us, this whole thing. And so after Wayne and Ronnie go around the house, we sit down in the den, and Catherine tells them about her injury and what she had been dealing with the last 3 months. And, you know, she tells them, shows them, I can't lift my arm more than this. And it was just physically impossible for her to do that. And so she finished telling them about her condition, and Wayne looked at her and he said, the Lord has woken me up at 4 a.m. four mornings in a row this week about you. And he looked at her dead in the eyes and he said, you're going to be healed today. And, you know, I'm sitting there in between the two of them, and when he said that, it just, he said it with as much certainty as you would tell a kid the sun's going to come up over that horizon this morning. And it just really shook me. I mean, I was thinking to myself, I mean, I had doubt. I was skeptical. I was thinking to myself, this is going to be real awkward when nothing happens. That's just honestly what I was thinking. And then Wayne talked a little bit about, you know, the healing miracles in Scripture, you know, the paralyzed man, the woman with hemorrhages who just touched Jesus's clothes. And it was, you know, he talked about it was their faith that healed them. And so then we stood up and we circled up in our living room and, put our arms around each other, and Ronnie started praying. And he prayed, you know, he prayed for a minute or two, and then he stopped and he said, okay, Catherine, see if you can raise your hand, you know, raise your arm up. And she tried and she couldn't. And Ronnie said, okay, well, let's keep praying. And so, he kept praying. And we can't remember the exact words he was praying, but he did pray. He was like, that there be healing in Jesus' name. And then after a little bit longer, he stopped and said, Catherine, try raising your hand up now. And she tried raising it up, and her arm went all the way up to 90 degrees. I mean, just like it, you know, as easy as this. And, I mean, I was speechless. I have never seen anything like that in my life. I mean, it was just like, I mean, I had been tugging and pushing and pulling on her arm with these therapy exercises for weeks, and, I mean, I knew it was not moving from this. And she raised it all the way up. And it was just jaw-dropping amazement. It was instantaneous, you know, miraculous healing. And we praised God. We took a picture. I think we have a picture. Yeah. So, yeah. So, of course, you know, Wayne, Cindy, Ronnie, and Catherine, and, you know, it was awesome. And, you know, miracles come in all different shapes and sizes. And, you know, the skeptics out there, there's some miracles, like, for example, you know, I'm sure we all have known someone, like couples that have had trouble getting pregnant. And, you know, people are praying for them, they're praying about it, and then one day they get pregnant, and it's a miracle. And but skeptics out there would say, well, that's the medication you were on, that's this and that. But this was a miracle that there's no alternative for it. You can't say it was medication or it was this circumstance or it was coincidental. This was just an absolute healing miracle right in our face. I mean, there's no other way to explain it. It was like her, it was like her arm had been chained to her leg, and that chain was in an instant cut and broken. And it changed everything. It allowed her to perform just the daily, you know, movements of living, and it really, really healed her mentally. She started gaining more strength. She could just do all these things that we, I think a lot of us take for granted, like I talked about, like opening doors, just, you know, putting her hair up, getting dressed, all this stuff. And of course we talked all about it, and still do, but there was an aspect of it that involved spiritual warfare. And she wrote this in her journal about that. She wrote, "I believe that Satan not only tempts us, but when we are physically weak, he sees an opportunity and takes it. I was really weak and struggling physically. I see it as the enemy was sitting on my shoulder, whispering lies in my ear and deceiving me. I see it as him physically holding my shoulder down. And when Ronnie prayed under the power of Jesus' name that my shoulder be healed, I felt like a new person with hope." As she continued writing, "I know that Jesus performed a miracle in me that day. He turned bad to good that day, and my faith and prayer exploded that day. I have found such joy in praying for others since then because I have confident expectation that he is with us. He hears us even when we feel like he is far away and not listening. His plan is unfolding. He is hearing our prayers, and he is working his plan, which is for our good, to further his kingdom. We live in a fallen world, and the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal our joy, kill our faith, and destroy our testimony. He wants to render us ineffective and unproductive. He wants to isolate us. If the enemy can isolate us, he can influence us. Jesus has already won the battle and is the victor, but the enemy is doing everything he can to keep us from drawing closer to Jesus and bringing others to Jesus." She wrote, "I have learned the power of prayer through this experience and the benefit of asking others to pray for you. Sometimes it can be awkward or make you feel vulnerable asking others to pray for you, but it is one of the purposes of the body of Christ." So, you know, as we were thinking about the miracle that we witnessed, and just kind of thinking about what we took away from it, you know, I had a front row seat for it, and I feel like I could have been one of those people, you know, standing around the house in Capernaum as the man was lowered down through the roof, or that I was, you know, you can kind of picture yourself at the temple gate, like we read about this morning, watching the lame man healed by Peter. And you know, I still don't think in a way that I really have fully appreciated what happened. But one a verse that kind of came to mind when I was just thinking about this was James, from James. This is James 1, 5 to 6, where he wrote that if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed about by the wind. You know, that morning or that afternoon at our house, Wayne had zero doubt. And, you know, when he looked at Catherine and told her she was going to be healed, And, you know, meanwhile, I was sitting over there being blown and tossed about by the wind. And you know, Wayne was anchored to the truth of Jesus. And I think that's the key here. You know, Catherine's healing was a powerful reminder to me that that our Father of the Old Testament and the New Testament is still the same God today. Has not changed one bit. And the power of the Holy Spirit that empowered and worked through these disciples is the same. He's the same today. Same Holy Spirit. You know, and the reason that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us, this gift, is to guide us and to lead us. And but we, the what's implied in that is that we are going somewhere. I mean, you need a guide if you are moving, and that's what we are called to do, is to be active in our faith and to seek that guidance on a daily basis, on an hourly basis. And so, you know, we just have to believe in that power of the Holy Spirit. And it's just important to remember that anytime we're doubting something or being skeptical about something, that is not from God. That is not of God. So what are we supposed to do with these miracles that happen in our lives? It doesn't have to be something as spectacular as what we experienced. I mean, an answered prayer. What happens if just any time we experience God? I mean, I think we should tell others about it. Don't keep it to yourself, you know. Tell your spouse, tell your friends. It's something that takes a little bit of getting used to. I mean, sometimes it can feel awkward talking about faith matters and in certain circles, but that's what we should be doing. And it's so important. And don't let Satan steal that gift from others being able to hear what you went through. And you know, let's encourage one another. I talked about it earlier. You know, the miracle is a big part of the story, but to me, what's also so cool about this is the encouragement and prayer that Susan and Barbara and Cindy gave to Catherine. I mean, you know, that was just a huge part of this. So, you know, so let's think about who we can pray for, who we can pray with, in the days ahead. So Catherine and I, we praised God for his healing of her shoulder, but as we were talking about it, we were kind of asking ourselves, well, why wasn't there complete healing? You know, why didn't God allow her to raise her arm, you know, all the way up? And you know, that's really a whole nother lesson, but just to briefly touch on that, I think it's important because I'm sure we have all experienced what we perceive to be unanswered prayers or partially answered prayers, and that can be very tough. And you know, sometimes we pray for something, and it can be something we pray about continuously, and we wonder why God isn't responding, and we are, you know, start asking ourselves, you know, can God hear me? You know, is God ignoring me? Is he angry with me for something? And but when you step back from that, I mean, I think we would all acknowledge that God is all knowing and he is all powerful. And we are not all knowing and we are not all powerful. And we are his creation. And you know, we're not meant to know everything. And when you kind of step back and just acknowledge that, it kind of changes your perspective on even painful circumstances we're in where we feel like a prayer is not being answered. You know, instead of questioning God, we are just called to trust him. Just trust him in these times where we feel like prayers aren't being answered. And there's peace in that. There's peace and comfort in just stepping back and saying, Lord, I'm just going to trust you with this. Miracles, I read this somewhere, but where I forget who wrote this, but they said, miracles are possible, but they're not predictable, and they are not necessary for our faith or our faithfulness. I was watching an Andy Stanley sermon series on miracles a while back, and one of the slides that he put up said, miracles are at God's discretion to further God's purposes. And I like that because it's an acknowledgement of, you know, God will do what he is going to do, and we don't know what or when that is going to be or how it's going to look, but all we are supposed to do is just trust in that. Remember Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He asked God to take this cup of suffering from him, but then at the end of the prayer, which is the takeaway from that prayer, is he says, but not my will, but your will be done. You know, there is acknowledgement in that that God is sovereign and his plan is perfect. So, in spite of the fact that miracles are unpredictable and may seem impossible, God doesn't want us to stop praying. He doesn't want us to stop asking him for help in everything, for relief. You know, we should never stop praying. That's the prayer, you know, praying with God, that is our that's just talking with God, you know. That's just a relationship. You know, if you don't talk with someone, you are not going to have a close relationship with them. And so all he wants of us is he wants that communication. He knows how things are going to turn out, but he just wants us to talk with him. And that kind of clicked with me one day where I was like, that's what it's all about, is just going to him with everything, big things and little tiny things that we may think are stupid to pray about or too insignificant to pray about. There's nothing too insignificant to pray about. So to wrap it up, after the miracle, there was more physical therapy, more pushing and pulling and tugging, and after a lot more prayers, Catherine regained her range of motion, and happy to say she can now raise her arm up. So, you know, I hope that her miracle story is a reminder that God still performs amazing miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's a reminder that we should pray for healing with our feet firmly planted on the truth of the Holy Spirit. And I want to close today with a prayer from a devotional that I listen to every morning called Lectio 365. Anthony's mentioned it in here several times. It's awesome. It's a great way to begin and end the day. And let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning full of thankfulness for the miracle of life and for the undeserved gift of salvation. We know who you are, our sovereign, almighty creator, full of love for us. But we hang on to doubts about the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray this morning that you remove these doubts from us. Lead us to trust you completely. We pray for the miracle of transformation and healing within each one of us and within those we love. Bring light into the areas of darkness within us and break the chains of sin that are binding us. We love you, Lord, and we pray that your word feed us and that your spirit lead us into the week and into the life to come. Amen.